This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Network. Your guest is Jay, Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And today we're talking about the subject matter of God, the devil, angels, demons, and intelligence agencies, because a lot of what Alex talked about today was very fitting for this subject. He talked about real religion, real spirituality, that many of the institutions, many of the churches that are out there, not just churches, but also other religions, Islam, other world religions, Judaism as well, they tend to have inner core groups within them, oftentimes connected to the state or foreign actors, that utilize the religious group or the religious organization as a form of soft power or a tool of state control. I like to call this institutional capture. I don't mean that every institution in the world is captured. I don't mean that every institution is subversive or is controlled necessarily. But certain institutions have been penetrated for a long time, and I don't just mean penetrated like Klaus's cabinets. I mean penetrated by non-state actors, NGOs, foundations, intelligence agents. And the best example of this is, we could talk about the Vatican itself as a global intelligence agency, so to speak. That's what it's called in the intelligence literature. I'm not saying that every individual Roman Catholic is bad or part of a vast conspiracy. I'm saying that a lot of institutions are corrupted based on the structure of the institution. So sometimes an institution can be corrupted from the top down if it's a very top-down structure. And, of course, after Vatican I, the Roman Catholic Church becomes a very top-down structure. Other institutions can be co-opted in other ways, like particularly just money. There is ideological compromise. There is sexual compromise. There's also ego. So a lot of different techniques. The acronym is MICE, M-I-C-E, that's typically used for how people can be co-opted and compromised. And this is it's not a purely state thing. So we think of politicians, presidents, we think of world leaders being in the past assassinated or maybe compromised because they had pictures of them at Epstein Island or pictures of them at a whorehouse or something like this, right? If you watch The Godfather, in the second Godfather, you notice that the family compromises a local politician who won't pass laws that are amenable to the family's gambling enterprises. And so they compromise him when he visits one of the Corleone whorehouses. Now, that's a classic technique. There's nothing new about espionage and compromise in that way. But we always think of this as thing that goes on in the state sphere. But in reality, this goes on in all spheres because of power relations. So if you're a government entity, for example, you want to use, even if you don't totally control, you want to steer or manipulate various institutions within your domain, within your country, within your jurisdiction to go along with your power or your soft power. So the reason that religion matters in the global sphere of geopolitics and espionage and power relations is that religion is one of the key elements of controlling perception, telling people where to look, what to believe, to base their lives around. And so to control religion has always been an unquenchable desire on the part of the state. You go back to early Christianity, for example, the church was the state wanted to co-opt the early church to teach various forms of Christianity that would make the state God. You had Arian emperors, for example, in the fourth century that wanted to turn the church into an Arian institution. You had other emperors later on who wanted to make it an institution that really, in practice, just submitted to the emperor or the state. Ancient empires, they did the same thing where the emperor's the god. And this idea, though, of spheres of power and limitations to power, this typically comes out of Western law theory, the Bible, Mosaic law, biblical law, Christian canon law, and so forth. These heritage traditions that we have in the West help us to protect and set up boundaries. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that with institutional capture.
In 60 seconds, I don't have time to tell you about all the incredible ingredients in TurboForce. If you simply go to InfoWarsStore.com, look at the list of ingredients, and look them up, every one of them is known to give you boosted, clean, focused energy without the letdown. We're talking up to 10 hours of clean energy per serving with TurboForce, exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's discounted right now. And it doesn't just boost your body's clarity and focus and stamina. It also funds the InfoWar. So it's a 360 win. If you've never tried TurboForce, now is the time. It's got 5-star reviews. TurboForce at InfoWarsStore.com will take your energy and your clarity to the next level without the letdown, and it funds the InfoWar, a true 360 win. So go get TurboForce today at InfoWarsStore.com, and I know you will not be disappointed because thousands of others have gotten it, and it has 5-star reviews. Get TurboForce now.
Back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. My guest host, Jay Dye. We're talking about institutional capture. We're talking about the heritage of the West and Western civilization and the laws and limitations and firewalls that are in place, ultimately to try to protect our basic values, our basic institutions, and our ways of life. And religion plays a key role in that. It might not be as important in the modern day as it was 500, 600, 1,000 years ago, but it still plays a key role. And there's no better way to understand this notion of institutional capture than to go back to really the World War II period. Now, obviously, there was institutional capture or attempts at that prior to World War II. When we get into the history of British intelligence and the networks that British intelligence used in the Freemasonic lodges throughout the UK, throughout the empire, as their intelligence operative network, right? So that's what the lodges functioned as. And by the time that we get to the 20th century, particularly right after World War II, the beginning of the OSS, and I'm talking about this because there was a great book that recently came out from an academic. This is not a conspiracy book, not a book that claims that the whole world is run by Jesuits or anything like that, although the Jesuits do have a long-time close connection to the Central Intelligence Agency, particularly at the time of Vatican II in connection to people like John Courtney Murray. But this book that came out recently called Errand into the Wilderness, and it's about the history of the relationship between the CIA and religion. And the early chapters really focus on key characters like Wild Bill Donovan, the first sort of leader and head, the American James Bond, some called him, who was the first head of the OSS, the predecessor to the CIA in 1942. And so when FDR put Donovan in, Donovan had some of these ideas that, quote, religion is the key to OSS and CIA manipulation. So immediately after World War II, Donovan went into meetings with the Vatican, meetings with the papacy at that time, to recruit as much of the Vatican apparatchiks as he could into the post-war efforts after World War II and then into the Cold War. So to really make the Roman Catholic institution not just against communism, which I think makes perfect sense. Anybody who's religious would be a natural ally against atheism and Sovietism and communism. But the problem is that Donovan and then his successors there at the agency, people like Ed Lansdale and others, Lansdale, I don't think wasn't a Catholic, but many others who were in the agency, people like William Casey, William Colby, they were, of course, pretty devout traditional Catholics, and I'm not faulting them for wanting to oppose communism. But the problem is that, and this was really the brainchild of Donovan and then Lansdale, was that if the CIA could really embed and get its tentacles into the Vatican, then the Vatican would no longer really be an institution that functioned as something outside of the sphere of American influence and American soft power. So what happened is that, and this book, again, from academia, Michael Graziano, Errand into the Wilderness, Religion and the History of the CIA, details the means and methods and tricks that were used to get into and to really, in a way, steer. I wouldn't say totally control, but
to really make sure that the papacy, the Vatican, which is the central, you know, most populous form of Christianity, what we call Christianity in the modern world, obviously they saw it as not just a natural ally in the Cold War against atheism, but a very powerful institution to try to control and steer. And so if they could do that, they would have the ability then to turn that institution to any of America's goals in any future conflicts. And if people are looking to try to understand what's going on with the Vatican and this kind of stuff nowadays, well, many writers outside of Catholicism, even within Catholicism, people like David Wim Hof, have talked about the fact that the odd actions, not just of the post-Vatican II post, but of Pope Francis in supporting the World Economic Forum's agendas, supporting outright extreme versions of globalization and calling for a world economic authority, calling for more power and authority to the United Nations and supporting UNESCO and now moving towards the blessing of gay unions and so forth. It makes perfect sense when we understand this post-World War II, post-Cold War, or during the Cold War, embedding and Donovan even used the terminology of making alliances that would then allow manipulation on the part of Western intelligence agencies. And it's not just the CIA. Remember, the CIA was really established by British intelligence. So this is really all Western intelligence, so to speak, in a loose sense, the Five Eyes and so forth, really having the ability to tell institutions like the Vatican, you're going to go along with this. And if you don't, well, maybe some of those pictures of the cardinals and other people involved in, you know, Vatican orgies, which has all come out in mainstream news, by the way, maybe more of that comes out. Maybe more of this pedophilia stuff comes out. So you see, the blackmail is a key element to this. And a lot of intelligence writers have pointed out that blackmail, if you just look at the Cold War, both sides of the Cold War were very interested in having dirt and blackmail on clerics. The KGB would famously blackmail many clerics in the Vatican. And you can read both sides of the conflict. You can read writers who have a more pro-Soviet and pro-liberal bent in the Cold War. They'll say the same thing as writers that are more Cold Warrior, more neocon about the Cold War. They'll say the exact same thing. So it's not even controversial. We know that, for example, when the Soviets took over Russia, they did the same kind of model. They would have tiers. And I've interviewed experts on this on my YouTube channel. They would have tiers of which clerics were not compromisable, maybe compromisable, compromised, and so forth. So they would structure them. And so it wasn't all black and white, like, oh, the whole church was KGB. Or did the KGB take over the Vatican? Well, there were periods when the KGB had some dirt and some influence in the Vatican, but never really took it over. In fact, John Paul II really solidified the union of the CIA and the Vatican at the close of the Cold War. And John Paul II played a key role working with the director of the CIA, Kissinger, and others, many, many meetings there. And so there's this long history. Now, I've gone into a lot of detail with Operation Gladio, where we have the alliance of the CIA's Black Operations Division with the Vatican Bank and using that as a means, as a secret bank, to funnel a lot of money to Black Ops using things like Opus Dei, according to Paul Williams and his Operation Gladio. But I'm not going to rehearse all the Gladio stuff. But the point is that the goal was to make the religious entity a tool of American soft power. So that puts the church at the behest and the control of the state. And to be more precise, not Joe Biden that's calling the shots, right? It's the deep state. It's the shadow government, the cryptocracy that's really calling the shots. And that's what now mainline academia in multiple books on the history of intelligence analysis are now admitting and coming forth with. For example, we had OSS operative Father Felix Morleone, who played a key role in Gladio, was instrumental in promoting ecumenism, the idea that the religion should come together and form a kind of a generic one-world religion. Bill Donovan himself was a huge promoter of ecumenism very early on, attended tons of interreligious gatherings, promoting the idea that all the religions have a common bond. Why do I talk about this? Well, ecumenism, this idea that all the religions should just sort of come together and just sort of find a lowest common denominator religion that's a supra-religion to unite around, is itself basically an OSS CIA supported project. Now, it had support and money earlier on than that, the late 1800s, 1890s, not even somewhere in there, in 1895, I think. The Chicago World Conference, we had different yogis coming and speaking at the World Conference of the Chicago World Conference. And then the Rockefellers particularly were impressed by, I think it was Swami Vivekananda or something like that. And the reason that Rockefeller back in the turn of the century found this to be so impressive was that he saw it as a way to capitalize on religion as a tool of American soft power. So if you could align Americanism with sort of Rockefeller ideology and Rockefeller ideas of sort of neoliberalism, and to then make the religion conform to a lowest common denominator consumerist ideology, now you have a perfect tool for soft power. Remember, soft power is utilizing means that aren't kinetic warfare, that aren't outright battle, to project power through things like entertainment.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Wandering, all the craziest things you could think of have at times utilized religion, churches, international aid entities for the purpose of cutouts. So sometimes those are cutouts. And it gets pretty sophisticated because I'll give you an example. The OSS suggested, as one example, according to Graziano, that the Vatican should participate. Now, the Vatican and nobody went for this, but this gives you an idea of the kind of thing that was suggested. The OSS would poison Hitler and Mussolini, causing them to become blind. The Pope would then come on the radio and announce that God had cursed the enemies of the West and the Allied forces, and that this was a divine sign. Now, they pushed and they wanted Pius XII is who they're talking about this time, but nobody went for this. But this gives you an idea. Another plan that they came up with, which was wild according to Graziano, was that Ed Lansdale proposed that in Cuba, the CIA should stage a second coming of Christ. Did you not? It's actually dealt with in the book. There's a whole chapter on this, the chapter on Ed Lansdale, who was the successor, you could say, to mastering the usage of religious ideology by the OSS and CIA. So you have Donovan really pioneering the idea, and then Lansdale into the Cold War really perfecting it with a lot of finesse, you could say. But Lansdale came up with the idea, well, if we wanted to turn simplistic, superstitious Catholics in Cuba against Castro, the best way to do this would be to, and he doesn't say how, right? This came out, I think, in the church committee hearings. We don't know exactly how this would go down, but the idea was we'll stage a second coming of Jesus. Jesus will in some way tell everyone that Castro is the Antichrist. This would then flip Cuba over to the side of America in the Cold War. Now, that's just one example, right? This book goes into countless examples. For example, in World War II, the OSS worked closely with a lot of Muslims to try to foment Islamic opposition to Japan. And the way they did this was come up with all kinds of banners and flags that would portray Japan and the Axis power of Japan as a pagan entity that wanted to destroy and suppress Islam, even though actually the Axis powers typically had a good relationship with Islam. Now, I'm not pro-Islam. I'm not saying the Axis were the great heroes. I'm just pointing out that the techniques here of religious subversion, you'll notice a pattern here. So, likewise, Lansdale, who had studied Buddhism and studied Asian religions very intently, that was sort of his focus, Lansdale came up with this idea in the Philippines that you could play on the local superstitions by creating staged events like chupacabras and vampires. I'm not joking. So, like, Jamie's in there laughing. So, chupacabras are basically a CIA operation. So, I mean, not really, but sort of. Now, in the case of the Philippines, Lansdale came with the idea of utilizing the local superstitions about vampires to hang up the hooks, the Hook Rebellion, and the CIA was worried that the Hook Rebellion would side with communism, even though they weren't technically communists. They worried that it might flip over to a communist government. So what the CIA did was grab a bunch of dead bodies, drain them of blood, poke two holes in the neck to make it look like they had been drained by some vampire or chupacabra. So this actually worked because it scared the locals into siding with, because they ran the propaganda that, right, that this was a sign to side with the pro-CIA government in the Philippines, and it ended up working. And it helped to shut down the Hook Rebellion. Now, that same idea of utilizing a lot of these symbols, another thing that they would do is that they would send soldiers into the Hook camps, and they would paint all-seeing eyes everywhere. Now, this was Lansdale's idea because there was a superstition in a lot of places about the eye of God. And the eye of God, if it was there, it was an omen, and maybe the demons or the entities had put it there to curse you or something like that. So utilizing superstition, utilizing curses. And guess what? This same principle, where does Lansdale go right after this? Directly into Vietnam to consult, I think, for 7 or 8 years in Vietnam. Phoenix program time. And what do we get? According to Douglas Valentine, the exact same technique of draining bodies, the same type of, you know, grotesque things where weaponizing serial killers, weaponizing these really outlandish and outrageous macabre displays of bodies that were decapitated and had, you know, the kind of stuff that like cartels do, right? That's just Phoenix program stuff. Now, there's no end to this. It gets even crazier because there was even an absurd plan that the Roman Catholic priest, Father John Island Gallery, together with Ed Lansdale, proposed to Donald Rumsfeld in the late 70s. And this was a plan to rebuild the city, the ancient city of Ephesus, with all of its churches and synagogues. And this would be a way to promote a new ecumenist religion in the region for the purposes of what was called the NATO Peace Project. So literally the NATO Peace Project was going to rebuild Ephesus. And then this would somehow lead to everybody in the region coming into one world religion stuff, right? And so, again, what this book highlights, and this is not written by a person who was a proponent of any religion I'm aware of, just an academic, but he's pointing out the usage of all of these tricks, techniques, and tactics that the intelligence agencies, particularly here of the West, would utilize on a grand scale at times. These are just there's plenty of examples that they did use. They did use the Muslims, for example, against Japan. They did use cannibals and serial killer type stuff against the Viet Cong in Vietnam, Phoenix program. So those things are real. They did propose a staged second coming, but that was not actually executed or done. Some of these wild stories and wild plans didn't actually come to fruition, but the wild stories and plans give you an idea of the type of things that they are engaged in. That's my point. So would it really seem strange that there might be a staged UFO alien encounter or disclosure? Of course not. I mean, if they're talking around, batting around the idea of staging a second coming, of course they batted around and have in the cards the idea of promoting a fake and stage, a faking gay alien invasion, faking gay aliens. Right? Of course. Part and parcel. So the point is that ecumenism is a Cold War tool. In fact, one of the key elements that we might think about in terms of ecumenism is the idea of Jungian philosophy, Carl Jung. And Carl Jung, of course, is well known for the ideas of archetypes and kind of rebranding ancient Platonic ideas into a way to decode psychology and dream analysis and all of this, right, as the successor to Freud's psychoanalysis. So Carl Jung is very famous, and people like Jordan Peterson today are kind of a reinstantiation of a lot of the Jungian ideas. Not saying everything, but he's in that tradition. And what do we get with Carl Jung? Did you know that Carl Jung worked closely with the OSS? In fact, he was called Agent 488. Agent 488. That was Carl Jung's number as a secret OSS operative and informant. That's public information. So even people like Carl Jung were there. And why was Carl Jung so useful? According to Graziano, archetypes and religious commonalities form a perfect basis for creating a one world religion. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Unless you've been living under a rock, you've heard how amazing turmeric is for inflammation for your joints, your bones, your blood, your organs, your mind, everything. Well, we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula with 95% curcuminoid extract. No one that we know of has it even above 85%. This is the strongest formula on the market, and it's way lower price than some of the top brands out there that are 75%, 80% curcuminoid. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula is amazing. You're missing missing out if you don't try it. It's discounted right now, 40% off InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds the InfoWar, a total 360 win. You owe it to yourself to try Bodies. I know you'll be amazed. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Bodies, 95% humanoid extract, will absolutely blow you away. All you got to do is try it. Get yours now. InfoWarsStore.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Of institutional capture, and particularly religious engineering, religious steering and control. And I was talking about Carl Jung and his agent name as Agent 488 in the OSS. You can read letters and transcripts and cables between Dulles, Alan Dulles, and Carl Jung discussing his informing and his and this is relevant for one because a lot of people thought, well, Carl Jung must have been a Nazi because of his philosophy and different ideas that he put forth. And by the way, I'm not saying that everything about archetypes is wrong. I've read a good bit of Carl Jung, and I've read a lot on the notions of archetypes in literature and in psychology and philosophy. So there's a lot there. I think it's a very profound insight, but it also can be used as a way to turn people away from things like Christianity or from Jesus and into this idea that, well, all the religions are just kind of masks of the one overriding super religion that we're all in the process of discovering. And so one of the things that is a presupposition of the ecumenist movement that, again, the CIA has fostered from the time of Bill Donovan all the way up through Vatican II and the Vatican II documents, which really absolutely just blew up ecumenism throughout the world post-Vatican II. It's the Second Vatican Council of the Roman Catholic Church, and its liberalization is necessary for where we got to today in terms of the religious world and the promotion of ecumenism. Now we see, for example, Pope Francis promoting the idea of a weird three cubes building in, I think, Abu Dhabi called the monotheistic faith, so the Abrahamic Faith Center, where all the world religions that are monotheistic now can come together and worship these big, weird energy cubes. Or something. I mean, literally, if you watch the video, it's like, you know, Autobots, right? Nathaniel Witwicky, come worship me at the Apostate World Center. That's my Optimus Prime. That's here because they've got these cubes. If you watch the video where they're bringing these cubes of light, and it's like three cubes. It looks like the energy cubes from Transformers. Very bizarre, very weird stuff. But that's part of the ecumenist model of steering everything into one giant world religion. Now, where do we get these ideas from? It's not directly, as we said, from Christianity. Obviously, Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. There we go. There's the erection of the center. And one of the videos promoting this weird international faith center is a video where three kids, a Muslim, a Jew, and a Christian, and there's the Pope Francis signing the declaration of this new entity together with the world religions and various the imam there together to say that, oh, God wants all the world religions to be there in this new world religion. That was their declaration that they signed. This is all obviously a project with tons of money put into it. I mean, this doesn't come together from nowhere. This is from the top down, you see. And so there's a quote church, which looks nothing like a church. I don't think there's even, is there even a cross in there? I mean, it looks like, you know, a big giant concrete Soviet brutalist architecture, you know, squares everywhere. It looks like a nightmare. Right, like parking garages. Do you want a church in a parking garage? But that's on purpose, by the way, because you'll notice the change in aesthetics in these weird world religion temples that they're building. There is no aesthetic. The aesthetic is ugly brutalism, just bizarre concrete boxes. Again, that's all Soviet stuff. You think, well, but isn't a world religion, isn't that a KGB communist Soviet thing? No, ultimately, it's a Western-funded thing. But here's this so-called church. Doesn't even recognizably look like a church. Just hideous. But it's hideous on purpose. And notice there's not even a cross in there. So it's like one little tiny one over there. It's like a Unitarian universalist type of structure. So very little to do with Christianity in this whole thing. And really, it's a Christianity that then melds with the fake world religion. Now, where do we get this idea of a fake world religion? We talked about the money that's put into it with the funding that came through Rockefeller money for co-opting the Protestant institutions in the U.S. But there's also money that and influence that went into funding British thinkers and structures, Royal Society and so forth, where Aldous Huxley, for example, long, long ago wrote a book called The Perennial Philosophy. A lot of people don't technically call him a perennialist, but in that book he talked about the future world religion, and he was writing very in a lot of synonymity with his cohort H.G. Wells, who wrote a book before that called God the Invisible King. So in God the Invisible King, H.G. Wells said, we're going to create a fake world religion. And it'll really be a cloak or a cover for our inner scientism-controlled New World Order cult. But it'll have the trappings of whatever religion you want in the exterior. So a few decades later, Huxley writes Perennial Philosophy and has his drug experiences. And he comes to the realization that, well, of course, I see all reality is one. When you take the drugs, you see, of course, all reality is one. So he has this mystical experience of monism. All reality's one, dude. Now he's hanging out with a famous character you might have heard of, partying and doing acid with Aleister Crowley. And there's a great book by Dr. Richard Spence, called Secret Agent 666, Aleister Crowley, British Intelligence, and the Occult. And what Spence argues is that probably Huxley got the ideas for MKUltra from Aleister Crowley's previous drug diaries. So Crowley wrote these drug diaries where he was recording the experiences of himself and other people on various drugs. And then Huxley, presumably according to the thesis of Spence, saw this. He'd been partying and doing who knows what butt stuff with Crowley. And they came up with the idea, why don't we use this for some kind of project? And so the British version, via Tavistock and other entities, of what would become MKUltra in America was born. And so you have two sides of the Atlantic basically engaged in the same research and study about controlling and mastering not just the exterior domain of the full spectrum dominance, but mastering the inner domain, the mind, psi war, mind war, etc. This literally comes directly out of the occult studies of British intelligence asset Aleister Crowley and his idea of a new satanic aeon that would emerge in our day. So I'm not saying that everybody in the establishment is a Crowley. I'm just giving one example of how religion, not just the traditional religions of the West, of Judaism and Islam and Christianity, but religion that's even fringe, weird cults, satanic groups, sects, are also part of this overall structure for experimentation, to study mind control. We all know probably of the long-time connection between the CIA and Scientology. This is partly why other countries like Russia have banned entities like Jehovah's Witnesses and Scientology, because they are often used as cutouts and covers for espionage. We read and talked about in the Johann Rothschild book, in his History of Fabianism, how when the Fabians came to power and got a lot of influence in Britain in the late 1890s, 1910s, 20s, 30s, they really pushed, especially through people like Bertrand Russell, Beatrice and Sidney Webb, the Islamicization of the UK first. And the way they did that was not to bring in a bunch of Wahhabis, which was really a Muslim Brotherhood British intelligence operation to begin with, but they actually brought in Sufis. And Sufis are mystical Islam, kind of pan-religious, archetypal Jungian Islam. That prepared the way then for decades later, where we are now, of Londonistan, with giant Islamic population now being imported into the UK. That was by design, and that was the test bed and the first dry run for then the rest of Europe becoming Islamicized by design. It was a Fabian plan. There's an entire chapter on the Fabians talking about it, because they said, we will use Islam as a means to bring in the one world socialist order. Doesn't matter whether Islam is socialist or not. That wasn't the point. The point was, it's a tool. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's a step to getting to the final goal. Final goal being, as we said, down the road, the eventual one world government, one world religion. All of these entities talk about this, and they're strategizing. It's in their books. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about religious institutions.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
If you're looking to move out of your parents' place, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive, which is good because your little brother has gotten really territorial. You're blood related. You'd think it would be fine to share food in the fridge. I mean, who writes their name on every individually wrapped slice of cheese, Tyler? Still, you've got to admire the commitment. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and use the savings to help you move out and have all the cheese you want. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about how the system infiltrates, co-ops, and steers religious institutions as a very important, crucial part of soft power. To control and manage perception, as Henry Kissinger said, is more important than the facts. So controlling how people perceive the facts, way more important than the facts. And so you can see why religious institutions have to be steered, co-opted, controlled, managed. And that's all part of the long-term global game plan. We were talking about Huxley, the drug diaries of Crowley, how this formed a basis for the idea of co-opting and giving the world a new, co-opting existing religions and giving a new religion. In fact, the last chapter of Doors of Perception, Huxley says that we could experiment with mass drugging of the populace and then maybe something like a kind of a quasi-New Agey type of religion. So the New Age movement is a classic example of this. Huxley says that that could be a type of future world religion where all the religions are basically blended into one. Oh, they're all saying the exact same thing, which, by the way, is a contradiction. All the world religions are not saying the same thing. You know, some of them are exclusive, right? So if you're an exclusivist religion where you think that that's the only way, well, then you're not the same as the religions that are not exclusivist, right? This is a very basic, obvious contradiction behind or involved in the idea that all the religions are basically, quote, saying the same thing. but it's very useful for the extension of, throughout, as we said, the Cold War, Americanism and American soft power to make sure that entities like the Vatican, entities like the Roman Catholic Church, entities like, entities like the Protestant Church and even the Orthodox Church signed on to and became a part of the intelligence establishment's projected goals and power. That was a stage that was successful in many ways. Now we're at a new stage where the push is the next phase, the next level of extending beyond what we saw at Vatican II with its ecumenism, or the push for one world religion that's been going on throughout the 20th century. Now we're at this phase where it's kind of blending into an actual thing that's manifesting in real time and space. This very faith center that you're seeing here. Now, one good positive sign of this is that a lot of people don't really like this, right? Because this watering down, it really kind of makes the religions irrelevant, and they're not really able to provide the healing and the because they don't have the power. They're just sort of outward manifestations of various ideologies. And they're so watered down that it's not really offering much. And so the good news is that when these religious institutions adopt the sterilization philosophy that they inevitably do, and you could look, for example, at various Protestant denominations that adopted wholesale liberal ideology, and then, for example, gay marriage, things like that, those institutions, women, priests, and bishops, quote-unquote, those institutions end up gradually withering away and dying because they've adopted an anti-male, anti-patriarchal death cult ideology. And they eventually literally end up pushing things like euthanasia, population control, depopulation, etc. They believe in those ideas, even pro-abortion, all of which are elements of sterility. And so they end up withering and dying. So that's a positive element to this, which is that, as people have even noted, Pew Research studies and so forth, the only elements of societies, particularly in the West, that are growing population-wise are people with religious commitments. And we're speaking here of more traditional religious commitments, not weird New Age yoga chicks and stuff like that. No, actual religious beliefs that they adhere to and live by, because they have families and they have children. They have extended families. And what's pushed by the establishment doesn't just undercut theology and dogma. It actually undercuts human life itself, right? Because you can't cut off how to live in life from the source of living in life, God, who is life itself, right? Life himself. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. So you can't divorce yourself from that and then expect to have anything but death, sterility, decay, and withering away. So that's the good news. The good news is that those entities eventually kind of wither away and die. And you can see this in the liberal Protestant denominations. Their memberships, their populations dropping. And in fact, for example, post-Vatican II, many, many studies have come out that the Roman Catholic world, after its adoption and dogmatization of liberalism of Vatican II, its seminaries, its countries and populations, its priests, its religious dropping. Religious attendance, for example, Europe, Roman Catholic Church religious attendance in Europe, dropping, bottomed out post-Vatican II. Other churches, Orthodox Church, growing. Why is that? Because once you adopt these principles, you're adopting death. When you adopt the ideology of the death cult, doesn't matter what costumes you wear, doesn't matter what lesbian bishops put on their costumes, like, you're not that any more than if I put on a basketball jersey. Like, I'm a pro basketball player, I'm wearing the jersey. No, it's just a costume. So if you don't have the power, if you don't have the thing itself, the externals don't matter. I'm not saying internals never matter, but externals don't matter as much as the internal. That's what really matters. And then the externals are supposed to reflect the internal. So they're both good, but the internal is obviously more important. But the real danger, I think, is not understanding that authentic religion, authentic spirituality, authentic Christianity, for example, is not going to be found in any of these institutions that are openly funded and promoted by the existing establishment. And it tries to put its tentacles into every one of these. So even megachurches, even if you're in some Protestant independent thing, a lot of those can still be infected by the power structure and influenced by various ideological subversions. So it's a very difficult time. I really appreciate what Alex said in the first hour. It was a very good exposition of the basics about how we really have to find our sense of right and wrong, our basic morality, the Ten Commandments, right, this kind of stuff. These are the basics we start with. And like Joe Rogan was even saying, like, it's looking like things are getting so crazy. Even Joe Rogan saying, hey, maybe it's time to look at Jesus. Maybe it's time to look at the idea of the Ten Commandments. Because, you know, societies that are based around things like the Ten Commandments, man, they sure do seem to work and flourish a lot better than the societies that don't have it. Because the societies that don't have it, you're just a cog in the system. You don't have, quote, rights, or you don't have value or human dignity, because in those systems and those ideologies, you're not made in the image of God. You're not a reflection of the divine. You're just a cog in the system. You're just a meaningless manifestation of muck, a pond scum, although a little bit more evolved. But by the way, you're also told that you're a god, and they're going to download you in a computer, and you'll evolve into becoming some sort of not neo-Gnostic techno-deity in the future. No, it's all lies. You're not going to be downloaded into a computer. Okay? Noah Yuval Harari, Klaus, all those people, they're lying to you. And when they even lie to your face and contradict themselves by saying that there's no such thing as consciousness, there's no such thing as free will, but by the way, we'll upload your consciousness to the cloud. Why are you going to upload something that you just said doesn't exist? You see, so that they're just lying. They're sales pitch men. That's all that is. The reality is that we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. And now that things are getting really crazy, people are starting to see that, hey, wow, looks like actual demon goblins are being let loose on the population. Population is becoming channels for those demons and goblins. People are becoming more and more possessed. I think I've done multiple fourth hours here on the Alex Jones Show saying that it looks like more and more individuals are becoming possessed. There's a great Orthodox Christian article called How a Nation Becomes Possessed. And they're writing about what happened when the communist revolution took over Russia. And there was a Christian bishop at the time who was writing about it. And he was saying that the experience, the manifestation was so wild that it's almost like the whole, not literally the whole country, but a large portion of the country became demonized to this bizarre delusion. And it's exactly what we see today with the bizarre delusions that people in America, the ones that are dumbed down, the ones that are, you know, don't have any moral compass, don't have any inclination to seek the truth or to know God and so forth, they're being given over, it would seem, as Paul says, to a delusion. And so they're buying into the wildest things, the wildest ideologies. This is the Alex Jones. I want to remind you that I'll be in Los Angeles with Jamie Kennedy, the great comedian from Scream, Jamie Kennedy Experiment, and so forth. March 15th, if you go to my Twitter, you will see at the top the link. Get your tickets March 15th to come see us. 5 hours of lectures on all the stuff that you've heard today and more. Also, you can get my red book at my website in the shop, Jason Allison, 600 pages of my best essays, and support InfoWars by going to the...
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.